expressed on this podcast are our own and do not reflect our employers. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. You're listening to Those Are the Girls with Mallory and Friends. I'm Mallory.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Abby.
And we are changing culture and bringing back traditional values. So today we have a doozy. You guys are listening to this in Women's History Month. So why not do an episode on the quote-unquote ultimate girl boss? We'll see. By the end of the episode, you can tell us whether you think she was girl bossing too close to the sun. Shout out to Claudia from the Morning Toast.
Morning Toast.
Or if she was just like a huge con artist, like you guys will be able to know. So if from that little snippet of what I just said, you could probably guess we're talking about Elizabeth Holmes. This episode of True Crime is a little different. We've gone over like people who are missing, people who have been, I think it's just missing. But this time we are going to talk about a white collar crime that cost people thousands of dollars. So to them, it probably wasn't a white collar crime. I guess we'll just get started. Vic doesn't know too much about the story, but Abby and I have been doing research the past couple of weeks. So we're going to be telling her the story slash telling you, the listener, the story. All right, Abby, take it away.
All right. So you guys know I like to do a little background. So Elizabeth Holmes was born on February 3rd, 1984, which I'm not going to lie. For some reason in my mind, I thought she was older, but I was like, she is really young.
It's because I feel like she dresses so mature on purpose. We'll get to that. Yeah, but yeah. She just comes off as older.
Yeah. Like older, wiser, for sure. Yeah, so yeah. She was born in Washington, D.C., to her father, Christian Rasmus Holmes IV, and her mother, Noelle Ann. Her father was the VP at Enron, and they had their whole scandal, we all know.
Yeah. I watched the documentary, finished up a documentary today. My dad came and sat and watched a little bit with me, and my dad was like, so who's her family? And I said the something of Enron. My dad was like, well, they should have known right there. If you guys already know the story of Enron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if not, I mean, Google it. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But, and her mom worked as a congressional committee staffer. So already, like, kind of off the bat, she's born into this, like, high-power, important family, mm-hmm. is what I noticed. I think that probably put a lot of pressure on her from a young age.
And I was listening to a podcast, and she's part of her family has old money, because they were, I wrote it down somewhere. Give me 2 seconds, you guys. Her family, they were part of one of those, like, okay, sorry. They are Rosenbergs, I believe. Was it Rosenbergs? They were, and his homes. I literally was just, Fleischmanns. They were Fleischmanns.
Fleischmann, yes, there.
Yeah. Oh, I hope I'm probably not saying it right, but they created the yeast. They, like, back when yeast was super important, her family was, but they sold the family, so they're not as rich, but they still, you know, had that lifestyle. So you're right, that pressure definitely probably followed her throughout her entire life.
Yeah. And I mean, she was incredibly intelligent. She,
yeah.
Hold on, let me find where it was. Oh, yeah. So she attended Stanford University starting in 2002, which we all know is like an amazing school, really hard to get into. So that just speaks volumes to her intelligence. But she decided college wasn't for her, and she ended up dropping out in 2004 and used her tuition money as seed funding for a consumer healthcare technology company, which kind of sounds like a word salad, but basically, she wanted to make a healthcare product. So that's what her money was going to.
So kind of sort of good. Well, not kind of sort of, definitely good intentions. Started off good.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. She was very like entrepreneurial. Like anyone you hear talk about her will say she was like very much a go-getter, like super into kind of having her own company, being this girl boss, like Mallory said.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what she wanted to do was she wanted to create this product that you could take a small amount of blood and get like a huge amount of data from it. So she wanted her product to accomplish this goal, essentially, because she always talked about her fear of needles and this kind of stuff. And she wanted to make this process easier for people. So she like invented this product that was going to basically, you could just prick your finger, mm-hmm. get a couple drops of blood, and it could tell you all of this stuff about your health.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have to keep getting vials. Like Victoria, like Sebastian wouldn't have, you know, how he gets with blood. In this invention of Elizabeth, you wouldn't have to go through that.
Exactly. It sounds great, right?
Sounds almost too good to be sure. True.
Exactly. Well, this project of hers was sort of like frowned upon from the beginning, because she like pitched this idea to a bunch of people, was told by several medical professionals that what she wanted to accomplish essentially was not possible.
Yeah.
But she, you know, kept on keeping on, and eventually she got the dean of Stanford School of Engineering, which is the school that she dropped out of, to back her idea. So this is kind of where it all starts.
And really quick, I want to add, so she kept pushing, mm-hmm. even though everybody was telling her no. And that is where, to me, that's where I put her in the, like, good, quote unquote, good column. Because it's like, yeah, if you believe in your product, you keep going. You don't let anyone stop you. But then at the same time, it's like, well, this is a medical thing. And, you know, if medical professionals are telling you no, if engineers are telling you, maybe you should not. So that's where it's a weird position for her to be.
That's where it's sketchy.
Yeah, that's where it's sketchy. Like, there's lines that keeps getting hopped and tap danced and hopscotched over.
I agree. And I thought about that when I was reading through this stuff. I was kind of like, this is weird that she's super passionate about this kind of healthcare product, but she comes from like more of an engineering background, but
yeah.
She never finished her degree. So it's more just kind of her entrepreneurial nature that
makes
her so passionate about this thing. So I just, I found all of that really interesting. It says too that she was a huge admirer of Steve Jobs, mm-hmm. who has a very similar story. He also dropped out of Stanford before he started Apple. And we all know how wildly successful Apple is. So
yeah. As we sit with our Apple phones and Vic, you're on Apple computer.
Like,
exactly. I am. I know. So I mean, it can turn out two very different ways, let me tell you.
Yeah.
she even wore like the same kind of turtleneck and jeans that he wore. Mm-hmm. That was very much her like iconic look. So and it's just interesting to note these things.
I think is so weird to me. Like, you're changing your personal style to fit someone. That's just strange to me, because I've never been the type, like, I like bright colors. I like to have my own style. So the idea of like, well, if I change my style, I don't know. That was weird. I mean, yeah. And the other thing you're gonna talk about is weird too, but we'll get to that in a second.
No, I agree. It's like, pretty much a lot of people who talked about her said she was very much trying to lean into this, like, well, you know, being an entrepreneur, it's a man's game, you know? So yeah. I gotta like make myself more masculine, basically.
Yeah.
So she changed her style. She dressed like Steve Jobs. She, you know, talked differently. Everyone says she had this deep, deep voice. It's very recognizable.
And you guys should all like look it up. After you should look it up.
Hear her talk. You will be like, oh my gosh, that's her voice. But No, old professors have said, like, I don't know where the voice came from. She never talked like that when I taught her. So people are saying it's fake. Like, does anybody really know for sure? Maybe not, but
it's definitely fake. It has to be fake. It doesn't sound real. And my mom walked in while I was watching. She was like, is she okay? What's wrong with her voice? And I was like, oh, it's a whole thing. Like, I'll explain to you later. Everybody look it up. It sounds so fake.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things about this story.
Oh yeah, there's so much crazy. Yeah, that's just these are just the first two. Like, it gets crazier after those are.
For real. So she kind of got the ball rolling when she got this old professor of hers to invest in. She called it Theranos, which is a combination of the word therapy and diagnosis, which I did not know.
Oh, I did not know that either. Okay.
I think those are like interesting choices for words, just considering what the product actually was supposed to do. So
yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know. I think the entrepreneurial world is kind of full of these like buzzword type of things. Mm-hmm. You want yours to sound creative and smart, and
yeah, that's
where she was coming from. But So yeah, she started to expand. She raised $6 million by 2004 of December. By the end of 2010, she had more than $92 million in venture capital. So this is like a huge, expensive company. This is not like small potatoes at all.
Every time I hear these numbers, I'm like, it hurts me. At the end of every episode, I'm begging, please donate to us, because she has $92 million without even a real product. Like, also, we have to mention, nothing's been done yet. People are just doing this because they're taking her word for it. She hasn't shown any product. She hasn't done a full-blown scale. They're just literally taking her word for it, and they're giving her all of this money. She hasn't even produced a podcast, y'all.
I know. It's insane. She's smart. She's persuasive, and people bought into it, literally.
Yeah, literally.
It's noted she operated the company in like stealth mode. So there was not a lot of like coverage or press releases or anything about that until September 2013, which is when she announced a partnership with Walgreens, which Walgreens is a massive company to just take on this product.
That is crazy. That was crazy. My dad was like, wow, how did she even pull that off? That is, I mean, Walgreens. Yeah. We all go to Walgreens. I like Rite Aid better, but you know, same thing.
I agree, but yeah, whole different story. So her media attention increased in 2014 when she appeared in Fortune and Forbes, basically pitching this idea. And then it was so quick that all of this went south too. Like, this is pretty much the buildup. Her partnership with Walgreens was sort of her like big break. And then that's when it all kind of fell apart. So she established a couple of other kind of like agreements with other places, but basically this is like kind of when the downfall started. A reporter from the Wall Street Journal initiated a secret, like super long investigation of Theranos because he received a tip from a medical expert, probably someone from early on down the road, telling her like what you want to accomplish is not possible.
Yeah.
That the device was not all it was cracked up to be. So he started an investigation and talked to a bunch of people, ex-employees, whistleblowers, all of this stuff. And he like quietly started putting together a story.
Really quick, but the documentary I watched on HBO Max, everybody, I highly recommend. I'll link it in the description. Did you see that one, Abby?
I watched bits and pieces of it. I didn't watch the whole thing though.
Okay. They talked about this girl that works in the lab, and she was there was a car sitting in their parking lot all day. And at the end, they came up to her and they had a letter basically saying that, like, if you don't help us, you can be liable for the things that are going on in this company. And they had her address that she was staying in, which was a temporary home because she wasn't from that area. So they even had her like temporary address, whoever the people were. I think it was established as like someone, other whistleblowers or other people who had more knowledge had told like government officials, and they were like saying, okay, like if you're in there doing this, you could be liable for some of the things that were going on. It got crazy because it could hurt people. Like, that's, well, anyway, we'll keep going.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's crazy the ways that they like manipulated, sort of manipulated people into like giving them information and stuff that really led to the downfall of this company.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, what happened was this guy published this kind of like bombshell article, kind of basically claiming that the device gave inaccurate results and that the company had been using commercially available machines, like basically outsourcing, like they would take the blood samples, use the machine, but actually outsource it, which basically resulted in not the super quick results that were promised by this device, because the device wasn't actually the thing that was performing the tests. It was, they were outsourcing it.
And they couldn't get it working. That's why they had to outsource it, because they couldn't figure out how to get it to actually work.
It was a backup plan, essentially.
Yeah.
So basically, this article got published. Elizabeth Holmes denied everything, basically called it like tabloid news or whatever. But this sort of like opened people's eyes a little bit. They were kind of like, okay, interesting. They, you know, had inspections done, which uncovered more irregularities in the products. Basically, kind of the same stuff that it wasn't working as it was promised.
Oh, and we forgot to say another thing.
Go for it.
Some of the people who backed her were like Henry Kissinger, you guys. Yeah. She visited the White House with Obama. She was in a picture with like Amy Schumer and other like celebrity type things. Like she had all of this, like she seemed very credible because I mean Henry Kissinger was on her feet on her list and a bunch of other like really wealthy, I can't remember, no other name I remember like stuck out that we would all know, like were backing her. So people were just like, okay, well yeah, I mean if so-and-so's backing her, let's, I guess we'll keep going. And but like Abby was saying, once all this information started coming out, people started leaving. Like Henry Kissinger got off the board, other people started moving off the board because they're like, okay, now this is getting fishy.
Right. I mean, it got to a point where they did these investigations and like the allegations became really hard to deny.
Yeah.
Basically, it was sort of like a smoking gun evidence type of thing. It was like, there's no explanation for this stuff that is reasonable for you to say like, oh, here's why this is happening. Because it basically just exposed the fact that all of this was fake. So Elizabeth Holmes then in 2016 went on the Today Show and said she was, quote, devastated we did not catch and fix these issues faster. Basically, she kind of admitted like, okay, yeah, I understand there are these issues, but she was saying she didn't know about it.
Deny.
I know. So in July 2016, Elizabeth Holmes was banned from owning, operating, or directing a blood testing service for a period of 2 years because of these lies, essentially, that she was telling. Walgreens ended their relationship with Theranos, and it was kind of just, yeah, it was bad for her.
When everything really came down. Like, was the walls were crumbling in her castle.
Yeah, pretty much. So in 2017, the state of Arizona filed suit against Theranos, alleging that the company had sold 1.5 million blood tests to Arizonans while concealing or misrepresenting important facts about those tests, which is a pretty hefty allegation considering 1.5 million blood tests is a lot of tests.
Yeah, and that's 1.5 million people. That's so scary.
It is.
That is scary. Like, I guess right now we can kind of talk about some of the problems that they had. So some of them were, so like Abby said, sometimes they would submit it, like you would send it to Theranos, but then they send it to a third party so then it wouldn't come back quick. Sometimes they would give you inaccurate readings where they would just kind of, the machine wasn't working, or they would just kind of like, all right, let's just give them this. And a lady in the documentary I watched, she said that she and her kids used Theranos and then didn't come back, or like it came back and it was like, okay, interesting. So then she had, like, she went and used someone else and the results were completely different. So at this point, you know, her lies, her continuing to do this is literally messing with people's lives. There was even an instance where it said a test came back saying that this pregnant lady had, I can't remember the exact thing, but she had an issue that she would need to get taken care of because she was pregnant. And it was this big thing. And she almost like had to be induced. And then they did another test, not Theranos, and it turns out she was fine. So it's literally like she could have risked, you know, losing her child because they were going to induce her. So
were they mixing up like tests, or is just like faking them?
It sounded like they were faking them. They never straight up, at least I didn't hear them that straight up said that like they were faking them. They just said that the results were coming back wrong. So what I'm guessing is they might have been half doing stuff, because in the documentary too they were saying that like they would do they had a certain amount of time to do these tests, and sometimes like the vials were so tiny they'd fall on the ground, and then you might not even realize it was on the ground. You could, like, step on it and mess it up, so then you're, like, trying to clean it, but then this isn't even, it's, like, against health regulations. And then they said, like, sometimes you would put your hand in this machine, and there was needles, and the machine wouldn't recognize it, so you might get nicked. So your blood might get mixed in with the people who you're working with blood. So it had all of these issues, and at this point, like, this is where you're literally messing with people's lives. Like, you could actually hurt someone. That's the thing with, like, healthcare. Like, having healthcare dreams and whatnot are really great. Like, 10 out of 10 recommends, or, like, anything that you want to actually help people, like, physically with, like, health-wise is great. But you have to make sure, like, you don't want to do more harm than good. Have you guys heard that story? It was a podcast called The Missionary, about this lady that was in Africa, and she said she was a doctor, but she really wasn't, and she had a whole, like, hospital pretty much, and it turned out she was, like, killing kids, but she wasn't doing it on purpose, but she was trying to help people. Anyway, that's what this reminded me of. It's called The Missionary. Everybody should look at
that. Wow, that's insane. Yeah,
that's what it reminded me of, because, like, you know, good intentions, but you're hurting people.
yeah, no kidding. I mean, yeah, like you said kind of at the beginning, Mallory, I don't know. I think it's easy to paint Elizabeth Holmes as this, like, terrible, like, predator who was, like, out to defraud all these people. But when you, like, really sit down and think about it, like, I don't know that I think that was the case. I think she truly right. did believe in her entrepreneurial spirit, and, like, she really wanted to make this idea she had work, and she just kind of had these blind spots as to what was actually happening.
And maybe she was, like, so worried. She's like, these people put so much money and time and invested so much into me, like, I can't let them down, so I'm just gonna fake it until we figure it out.
I think that was a big piece of it too.
And that, yeah, and that's where I, like, at the beginning, so I listened to a lot of stuff on this. There's, like, two, I didn't complete the podcast, but there's two complete podcasts that go into, like, way more detail than we did. Like, there's one that kind of does, like, a dramatization of everything about when it all started crashing down. But after listening to all that, my opinion kind of changed, because, like you said, at first I watched, like, a video on YouTube years ago. This is kind of, it's not, she just recently went to jail. Spoiler alert. Sorry. She just recently went to jail, but her tale or whatever has been old. And I remember watching a video years ago and just being like, wow, this lady's so evil. She's just a swindler. I can't believe it. She almost hurt people. But, like, learning a little bit more about, like, what she was trying to do. And, like, even though these things are so terrible, like, that, I think that's just something that we tend to, like, if you have a vision and a dream, you kind of have your blinders on and just going straight. But when you are helping other people, you got to be on top of it. So the things that she was doing were so terrible. But at the same time, it's also, like, she was working, like, really, she was trying hard. It's just, but then I also think about, well, you can continue the story, because I'll say this at the end.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so I brought up these lawsuits. She managed to settle most of them. But basically she ended up getting charged by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District of California. Following
what exactly did she do that was illegal? Like, just, is it fraud? Was that what it was?
She, yeah, basically they're claiming she defrauded a bunch of investors for a product that didn't work.
And, like, the problem is she was going around telling people, taking people's money for this product, but it didn't work. And even though, I don't know if you guys have seen the Anna Delvey show on Netflix, it's pretty much the exact same thing. Sorry, y'all, allergies. The idea is you just keep asking money, keep trying to get money, and then eventually it'll work out. And it's like, you can't do that. Like, that's just, especially, you can't mess with people's money. Like, you just can't.
Your lives will catch up with you eventually.
Yeah. Can I ask, though, like, yes, like, I fully agree, like, never defraud anyone, like, with money, but isn't it in part the investor's fault for not doing their work?
Yeah. Their due diligence. Yeah, like, it's, they should have done their due diligence. I think also, too, because this is the same thing with Anna Delvey, which we'll have to cover one day.
Oh, absolutely. I am fascinated by that story.
So fascinating. I follow her on Instagram now, because I just,
How is she still on?
I have no idea. She's apparently she's in ICE custody. How is she on Instagram? No idea. And it's actually her. Like, she'll post anyway, but that's beside the point. So people like Anna, people like Billy McFarlane, who cross paths with Anna, which I think is just the craziest thing too. Anyway, those people, I think they just have something about them that people just trust. And for whatever reason, people let down their guards. But I hope getting these stories out will have people want to be a little bit more cautious. Like, I still think we should invest. I think it's important. Invest in podcasts that are turning into bigger brands. But I do think we should invest in businesses and in people. But you just have to do your due diligence. You can't just take people's word for it. And I think that it is partially the investor's fault. They should have asked for papers, asked for, I don't know, profit lines, ask for a tour of the products. In the documentary, someone who, I can't remember if he was investing, he was doing something with the company, and he actually went to Walgreens, and they stuck a needle in him. And he's like, what are you doing? And they're like, we need to use a needle because of the type of test you're getting, or something like that. And he's like, but that completely defeats the purpose of this product. So that's when he knew, like, okay, this is a fraud.
Right.
And everybody should have done that.
Yeah, for real. I mean, definitely ask the right questions, you know, figure out what exactly it is that you're like giving money to, because nobody wants to be on the other end of something like this.
No.
So do you, Mallory, want to go into a little bit about the relationship between the president of the company, Ramesh Sunny Balwani, and Elizabeth Holmes?
Sure, I can talk about that because I have tons of thoughts. Okay, you guys. So, started off, it was just kind of a solo her. She was going out, getting other employees. She was building this company. Well, she ran into this guy, Sunny. And Sunny kind of like, I can't tell if he took over or if they were working together. I still am not sure. With all
They won't really admit to anything. So it's like, right, tough to actually know what happened.
Because they also like, I'll say that in a second, but it's either they were in it together and they both were defrauding, or he was the one that was manipulating her. When she went to court, she said that he was manipulating her. That was her defense. She used the Svengali defense, which is basically saying that you were manipulated into doing what you were doing. So her relationship with this guy, you guys, they were sleeping together. They were sleeping together, which it is what it is, but I think that's, so, to me, that's very sketch. And if you look, and, you know, I am pro older men, I am, okay? How can you look up how old exactly he was?
Yeah,
but in the documentary, he looked like he could be her father. I could be exaggerating, but he looked way old. Like, when they showed how
You're not exaggerating. Let's see. He was born June 13th, 1965. She was 1984, so.
Yeah. And, like, I, once again,
he's 19 years older than her? Yeah, so that's.
I mean, that's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
I'm
but he does
super anti-huge age gaps. Like,
well, I mean, there's been worse.
Like, I'm not anti age gap. Like, at one point I had my dating apps to 45. I'm not anti age gap. I just think that it's a power dynamic. Like, it's just inappropriate, I think. Like, he is so much older, has so much more experience than her, because she started when she was 19. Oh, wow, that's crazy. They're 19 years apart. And so she started the biz, like, she dropped out of Stanford and started at 19. She was a kid. I'm not saying she was sweet and innocent. She could have been, but that's not the vibe that she,
I mean, yeah, people tend to be pretty naive at that age, and they're easy to manipulate. And I mean, it's a 19 year age gap between somebody in their 40s and somebody in their 60s. Like, that's very different than like a 19 year old and somebody who's 19 years older than her, like in their late 40s. Like,
right so that was their relationship. So when she went So where the like discrepancy comes is people just don't know if they were in it together or if he was manipulating her. In the court, she said that he was the one who was telling her, keep telling these people, keep telling these people. And some days I agree that could have been possible, because I mean, when you think about it, even though he was charged, I guess he was also charged because his name was on everything, but he wasn't the face of it. Because I'm telling you, when they showed him on the documentary, that is not who I was picturing. I was, and I'm not trying to say he's like this hideous man. He's just way older. To me, he looks older than born in 1965.
It's just an odd match. Like,
it's
an
odd match. I think it comes off very inappropriate.
Yeah. Well, opinion. I mean, I think I have even more of a problem too with the sort of like mixing business and pleasure, like the fact
and that I was they just were involved in that.
Business together and it turned into this kind of sketchy thing. That for me is like an even bigger deal than the age gap or any of that kind of stuff. Like that just is super inappropriate.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to say. I don't think it's definitely not appropriate to mix business and pleasure that way, especially when you're these two people together. Mm-hmm. So he was known for being very a stickler. He was known for being very strict. He was keyboard watching. So someone said that like they would email. So like, let's say that Victoria and Abby were emailing each other. And then all of a sudden I emailed them and I wasn't CC'd on it, but I knew that you guys had emailed each other. So like they were reading their emails. And that was a culture that he created. He created that culture. He wanted it to be like, he watched everything they did. You had to sign affidavit or not affidavit. You had to sign non-disclosure. Mm-hmm. You had to sign a contract saying you wouldn't talk bad about the business. You had to key code into everything. They had to know where you were at all times when you were actually on the site. He created this like, a kingdom, maybe like this whole like I'm watching you. Kingdom's not the right word, but he created this like culture
environment.
He created this environment where people were kind of like afraid to even speak up, and you couldn't say anything bad about him. Like you couldn't, it's like you and Victoria. If you guys were like, okay, now you're being a tyrant, you wouldn't be able to talk to each other about it because I would be able to read your emails. So that was more of him. So that's when I heard that. That's when I was like, okay, maybe he did manipulate Elizabeth, maybe he did kind of do that to her. But my whole thing is like, it's her business, like it's her idea. And I just know with me, like back to the Those Are the Girls example, I just can't see myself being manipulated. Like it was something I started, I can't see myself being manipulated by someone coming into my thing. I'm sure it's possible. And
were they together before?
No,
they met
because of the business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sketch.
Yeah. Sketch. Yeah, absolutely.
And at the trial, she was pregnant. That's why they kept pushing her trial back.
Which is another crazy thing because she's like with someone else now.
Okay, so she is with someone else. Okay, mm-hmm. I wasn't sure who she was with. That's interesting.
Who's like much younger than her.
Who's younger than her? Oh, that's
younger than. Oh, I'm going to have to look it up. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like in his 20s. Like,
oh, wow. He's like our age. Oh, wow.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I've read about it somewhere. I'm going to have to look it up. But yeah, it's so I'm like, wow, is this just like a crazy pendulum swing from like one extreme to the other? Or like, what is going on with the psyche here?
That's fascinating. And a podcast I was listening to, the people that used to work there, they think she did that on purpose to make her seem more sympathetic to the jury.
Honestly, yeah, I could totally see that happening.
Yeah. They think she got pregnant on purpose so that when she's there, they're like, oh, she's pregnant. She's a mom. But in that same podcast, the psychologist said that actually it'll be 50-50. Some people might have sympathy because like, oh, you're a mom. Oh, we got to help you. And then other people might be like, wow, you knew you were facing this type of thing and you got pregnant anyway. What a jerk. So it's literally 50-50. Isn't that interesting? It's this whole, she's so fascinating. She definitely has crazy eyes. I mean, that's, if you look at her, she has the crazy eyes.
I'm so fascinated by her because she is this like cute blonde girl who's got these big eyes and she like just acts all intense and like masculine because I mean like people had said she like wanted to lean into this kind of like male entrepreneurial universe. Like,
and I hate that. I hate that. I think do too. We as women, we should be proud of our femininity, proud of our curves. I also noticed she had really, this is going to sound really weird, but since we were talking about her appearance, she had really nice lips. Like, I think that, like, not to be weird, but I noticed she had nice lips. And I think that's interesting because she always had on lipstick as well. Even though she's trying to lean into this masculine thing, she always made, like, her lips always were lipsticked. I think that's just so, like, her whole thing. And the black turtlenecks, and she said in an interview, she was like, yeah, I only really wear these black turtlenecks. I don't really have anything else. I only get 4 hours of sleep. I wake up and I drink cucumber water. And it's like, ooh, sis, that's not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
Oh, gosh, that's so crazy. Yeah, okay, sorry. I just looked up her husband now.
Oh, they're married. Wow.
I get, I think people were kind of like, are they married? Aren't they? Because they did sort of like a secret ceremony or whatever. But he's 27.
He's 27. That's my age. That's crazy. I'm gonna have to like look him up. That's crazy. Well, you know, I was thinking who's gonna have the baby because, or take care of, well, I know who's gonna have the baby, but who's gonna take care of the baby?
It'd have to be him.
Yeah. So, especially since they're married.
Well, I was also thinking, super rich though, I read somewhere. He's like loaded. So,
and okay, so I want to talk about that aspect too. So when we talk, for example, Anna Delvey's, the Billy McFarlands, Elizabeth Holmes of the world, they're all connected to rich people. Even if they're not rich themselves, somehow, because that's what I've noticed. Once you, there's like this huge barrier. I mean, it's probably, it's like this big. Once you get through that barrier into where all the rich people are, as long as you're charismatic, I feel like you can, like, that's that. Like, you got, you get the money. That's the vibe.
Half the battle, is breaking into that universe.
Yeah. Like, sometimes I'm like, I want to do that. But then the other times I'm like, the other problem I think, and, you know, I could be completely wrong. If you are part of this circle, please correct me if I'm wrong. From the outside looking in, it does seem like you have to almost do and be things that you aren't. And I really don't like that. Like, I don't, I'm already sometimes like on social media when I'm like kind of tired and I kind of don't want to do it. I cannot imagine having to like go to a bunch of dinners and talk to people that I don't really like. Like, for the most part, I, like, if I don't, I get along with pretty much everybody, but obviously there's going to be one or two people who I don't really get along with. So I just don't, I'm just not a fake person, so I just don't really spend time with them. So, and I feel like if you're in those circles, you have to do that. So then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I, like, that just kind of, that feels icky. Like, I don't like that.
Yeah, for
isn't
me,
that politics, though?
Well, you see, that kind of is. But a person, Vic and I, that we probably both are not the biggest fan of, I don't spend a lot of time with that person. I just, it's just, I mean, I guess I could, maybe I should, because that person could probably help, but I just don't like that. Like, I just, I don't know. That is politics though.
Yeah. It's, but, it's hard though to kind of get yourself to, I don't, at least for me, I don't like to be around people that I feel like I have to impress. It's like, yeah. I don't want
that too
on all the time. I don't want to have to be like, oh, is this person happy? Does this person like me? Am I saying the right things? Like, no, I just want to like be myself and be around people who allow me to do that, you know?
Yeah. And that, and you know, Vic, bringing that up is such a good point, especially like in this, you know, world that I'm trying to even build those other girls. Like, it's so, it's already exhausting doing, like, having to be on all the time. For the most part, I like everybody I'm around. Like, it's not like I don't, like, some people might annoy me here and there, but for, I like everybody I'm around, but, you know, having to be on all the time would be, like, so exhausting. But that is kind of what you have to do sometimes. But I just, I feel like with rich, I don't know. Like, some of the people I'm on with, I do kind of feel like if they turned out they didn't really like me that much, I wouldn't care as much. Like, I'd be disappointed, but I think I'd move on. But I feel like if, like, a millionaire, I've never really been around a millionaire as an adult, at least, and like if a millionaire was like cool with me and then not cool with me, I don't know, I feel like maybe I'd feel differently. I don't know, I'm not really around like super filthy rich people.
I think
that could help the podcast.
With this stuff, it's important to take it to prayer, honestly. Like, if you feel sketch about someone, if you just kind of like have a conversation with God about that, I think he'll probably like lead you to the right answer. If you're supposed to be involved with them, you know, do what you have to do. If you're not, then like he'll make that clear to you and you can kind of make your decision that way.
Absolutely. Another thing that I think where Elizabeth and Sunny messed up is they didn't have accountability. Mm-hmm. I think they did have like a board, but it was just like a board on paper. Mm-hmm. I think, for example, like for those other girls, like Vic is kind of my accountability. I mean, there's been one or two times I've kind of done stuff and just didn't really tell her, but I'll run ideas by her and she'll be like, that's such a good idea, or you know what, that's not good.
Let's try this instead.
Yeah, and then 9 out of 10 needs
a sounding board. Like,
yeah, and you need someone who's going to tell you, because like, there's been times I've said stuff and I've been like, "Let's do X, Y, and Z," and Vic's been like, "I don't think that'll be a good idea." And you need someone who's going to say that to you, because the reality is, when you're building something, you, especially if you're trying to
blinders on, I feel.
Yeah. I could relate a little bit to a lot of it, I'm not gonna lie, to her, in the sense of like, sometimes you just dream big and sometimes you just like, you know, you're going to be successful and you just know it, and it doesn't really matter what anyone else says, it doesn't really matter how anyone else says it, but you just know it, so you kind of just go forward. And like, sometimes I do think, is she just who a lot of entrepreneurs are, but we've been told no and we just stopped. You know, I think about that. Like, could that have been me? Could I have done that? If I just kept going, people kept giving me money and trying
to prove that you should keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Could that have been me? I don't know. Yeah.
Again, I think a lot of that can be resolved in prayer. Like,
yeah,
having these doubts and, you know, you really want the truth and the answers that you need, take it to prayer. You know, God's not going to fail you. He's not going to forsake you. He'll tell you what you need to hear.
And I think that's why it's so important as Christians that God is involved in your business. Like, that's why it's so important to, like, one thing I try to always pray whenever I am praying about those other girls, I keep bringing up those other girls, y'all. I'm sorry. This is how I relate to things, is like bringing it into my life. But how I always pray is like, God, just have it touch whoever it's supposed to touch, however it's supposed to go, you be in control. Because if you start going, I think that's the other thing too, they like lack integrity. And if you start going and doing things your own way, you'll just start making compromises here, making compromises there, making compromises everywhere, pretty much. And I think that's what happened with them. I feel like Elizabeth is definitely not a Christian. I could be wrong.
I didn't read anywhere that she is.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, it's never too late. She's
right,
still
right.
Or she could have at some point and just not really like made it public, but.
Yeah. And there's always there's prison ministries too. But anyway, what were you saying?
Is she in prison now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So
when did that happen?
Her trial happened pretty recently. It started on August 31st, 2021, because it was delayed because of COVID and her pregnancy, like we talked about. Something unique about her trial was she testified in her own defense, which is extremely uncommon in criminal trials. But which basically, sorry, what was that?
Which means what?
Oh, she took the stand. She was a witness in her own trial, essentially. She testified on her own behalf. A lot of people don't do that because in America, we enjoy the right to silence, essentially. Like, pleading the fifth basically means you cannot be forced to incriminate yourself. So you can never be forced to take the stand in any like criminal proceeding that is against you. Lawyers always advise their clients against it. 100% of the time, and many people choose not to, so it's unusual that she did.
And I personally think, just to interject, I personally think she did it on purpose, because she wanted to A, have some control, and then B, because she wanted sympathy. And she's very pretty, has long blonde hair. And like statistically, women who go on trial for like raping their students, they typically testify too because they're attractive. And like if you get them on the stand, like the jewelry, blah blah blah. So I think that's why she did it. I think that was more of like a, hey, come on, like, see, yeah. She's just such a sweet mom. Look at her. She didn't mean to hurt anybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my theory.
But yeah, basically in her own defense, she claimed that she was misled by her staff about the technology and that her ex-romantic partner, Sunny Balwani, who was also facing trial, held influence over her during their relationship, which was still ongoing when the alleged criminal acts happened. So basically she blamed it on him and she said that she wasn't being fully informed by her staff about what was the problems with the technology and everything. So yeah, then on January 3rd, 2022, is when we got the jury verdict, which, geez, that's like just over a month ago. So very recently.
Yeah, I was like thinking, I'm like, okay.
So Elizabeth Holmes was found guilty on 4 counts of defrauding investors, 3 counts of wire fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. There were several other counts that she was found like not guilty or no verdict on, and the government essentially agreed to dismiss them. But basically she is awaiting sentence, while remaining at liberty. So she's not in jail on $500,000 bail. She faces a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison and a fine of $250,000 plus restitution for each count of wire fraud and for each conspiracy count. So basically the sentences likely to be served will be a maximum of 20 years.
Which means she definitely won't get 20 years.
No, she won't. Her sentencing is scheduled for September 26, 2022. So like, hold on for that. I don't know why they set it for so far out. Usually it's only like a few weeks, but.
The baby. I bet it's the baby.
Probably. I mean,
she
has the best attorneys, I'm sure. She's very charismatic. I'm sure she figured out some way to like game the system so that she can be like at liberty for this time while she's awaiting sentence because she has the money to pay it, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're left with her case. So keep an eye on that for September of this year. It'll be interesting to see how much she gets. Like Mallory said, I agree. She's not going to get 20 years.
No.
I think she'll probably maybe get like 8 to 10 and serve 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It would be my prediction.
And she would probably go to like a white collar prison.
Yeah.
So it probably won't even be like a real like, I don't know if you guys remember the episode of The Office where the guy's like, yeah, we had gym time. We had a TV. It was bigger than this TV type thing. So it's not going to be that much of a punishment. Yeah. So you guys, where do you stand? Do you think she was a good person with good intentions and they turned bad? Or do you think she was like a fraud and she just got selfish and greedy? Where do you stand?
I think she was a very young girl who had huge ambitions and got in way too deep and didn't have another way out and got caught, essentially. That's what I think happened.
What do you think, Vic?
Yeah, I think she had good intentions to start with and thought she could do it and realized she couldn't. And she's like, well, crap, I got to make this up to my investors. And I don't think she meant to do it at the beginning. I'm not sure about towards the end, but I definitely don't. I don't think she meant to do it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much of an influence the guy had on her either.
I know.
That is such an interesting aspect of this story, I think, is that there was this kind of like, this story kind of has it all. It's got like crime, romance, all of this stuff. It's like crazy. It's like a soap opera almost.
All they need is murder, knock on wood.
Exactly.
Hopefully no one dies. Yeah. Hopefully no one dies, but that's
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm leaning more with you, Vic. Like, I do think it started, so when I first, like I said earlier, when I first heard the show, I'm like, wow, this woman's evil. Oh my God, I can't, what, there's barely any women CEOs and now she makes us all look bad. Evil, 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 boo, boo. And then after hearing it more, I really am starting to think that she started off with good intentions. I think, like, you guys, I'll link some of the stuff I listened to. She really started off really wanting to help people. Like, it sounded like something, because, you know, there's some people who, like, create business just to make money. For example, Facebook. Not saying that Facebook hasn't helped people, I guess, but, like, let's be honest. You're not starting Facebook because you want to cure or, like, make people's lives better. As a matter of fact, they make people's lives worse.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think it was. So I think she started off really with good intentions, but I do sometimes wonder if because she lacked integrity, because that's what happened. That's how she ended up where she was. She realized, even though she knew, I know she knew that it wasn't working. And I don't know if her motivation to keep going was because pure selfishness, like, I have to do this. I don't care what anybody says, I have to be successful. Or if it was like ignorance and like, okay, it's not good now, but I know it'll be better later. We're going to figure it out, so let's just keep going. I don't know which one it was. I do think it started off good, but I think it could have taken a turn. And then the guy, I'm so torn, because everything I listened to, they made it seem like he could not have possibly influenced her. There's no way. She's lying. He was a pawn. But that's how, like, that was the slant they put on, because, you know, obviously everybody has a slant when they do these podcasts. Like, you can probably obviously hear our slant. But like, when I was presented with the facts that they were saying, I was just kind of like, I mean, it's possible. Like, when you think about it, he's significantly older than her. He has more money than her. He knows. So the problem also, too, was, like, she had no experience in any of the things she was doing. She had no medical health experience. She had no real entrepreneur experience. I mean, she's always had that, like, I'll use myself. I don't have a real entrepreneur experience, but I did have a business, you know, since the fifth grade, but that's not, you know, it's not real. And like, she's never had anything like a real entrepreneur experience. She had no medical experience. She had no engineering real experience. Like, she was smart, so she could figure things out, but she didn't really have any of these things. So if this man comes and has different ideas, has different experiences, then I can definitely see him manipulating her. I definitely think it's possible.
Yeah. So there's the age gap too, which
yeah,
just automatically kind of puts one person in a position of power over the other, especially when it's so large and like one of them is so much younger.
Yeah. And so, I think also, so about age gaps, I think the biggest thing that especially people like, I don't like age gaps either. Even like, I'm pro them, like, I guess, but like sometimes I don't. And my biggest thing is like, what does a 19-year-old have in common with he would have been like 38? Like,
that's in two different questions. But they didn't two different start, phases of life. Right? They didn't start at like 19 when she was 19. He was 38. It was like later on.
No, it was like maybe like 20 and 39.
Oh, I didn't realize she was very young.
I don't.
Yeah, it was from like at the beginning. It was like, yeah. So like, that is just like, what do they have in common? I mean, yeah, sure. Maybe after 10 years of doing this together, they'll definitely have things in common. And I don't know if I'd want to marry someone I've worked with for 10 years. That's like a lot of spending time with that person. But, you know, maybe they'll have more in common. But like, at what is a 19 or I'll say 20 and a 39-year-old have in common? Nothing.
Yeah.
They shouldn't even like the same music.
Yeah.
I guess they could, but
there are completely different places in life, which is why my brain always goes to, well, he wanted to date a hot young 19-year-old, you know?
yeah. And she's pretty. She's definitely pretty. Mm-hmm. It's just she definitely has crazy eyes. She definitely has, like, if you look at
her. Never trust anyone with crazy eyes.
Never, never. As soon as you see the crazy eyes, just trust your gut. And she definitely has them. But so I guess also now, what are the lessons that you guys have learned from this? Who wants to go first?
I can go first. I think my big takeaway from this, I was thinking about it today. I was like, oh, what do I say for this? There's so much on here. But I think really just always seek to live a truthful and authentic life. Mm-hmm. I think really make that a priority, because you never want to get tied up in anything like this, whether it's intentional or not. Just really always seek the truth, seek to be the best person that you can, like be passionate about what you're doing, but do it authentically, I think is my big takeaway.
For me, I would say it's like, if you're ever investing into something or someone, you need to make sure it's real. Like, make sure they show you how it's done and that it's actually a real investment and it's not anything fake. I know we're going to move, like, well, I guess when this airs, we would have already moved. We moved in, like, into like a rental home. And my dad's like, hey, you need to check to make sure that the people who's claiming that this is a rental home, it's actually a rental home. And like they own it, because a lot of people will kind of like go and figure out how to like pick the lock and be like, hey, I'm showing you my home. It's not actually their home. So I would say it's just like, make sure like whenever you're about to do like a big purchase and like you're doing some business one-on-one with someone, make sure it's real and authentic.
That is really good. Both of you guys hit on the nail of what I was going to say. I was looking for a verse about what you said, Abby, and it is 1 Timothy 2, verse 2, and it says, for kings and all those who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. In the NIV, it says, live peace and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And that just reminds me, like what you said, live your life in honesty. Like that's probably that's a huge takeaway for me. Just integrity. Like if you're living your life peaceful, quiet, in godliness and holiness, you don't have to worry about going to jail for fraud, because you would do things that are, if you just keep your integrity, because that's what it comes down to, in humility. Like that's another thing too, I think was maybe an issue. She probably just couldn't humble herself and say, hey, I messed up. That was probably hard, which I get. But if we're trusting God, like Abby said, we're trusting God, if we are believing or if we're praying, then God will tell us what to do next. And if we need to take humble pie and say, hey, you know what, this has to stop, or maybe our business needs a pivot, because I'm sure she could have pivoted if she had thought more about it. But yeah, so definitely the living life in all godliness and honor and holiness, and making sure that you're doing business with like legit people. That's such a good point. I did not know that about renting, Victoria. That's a good tip.
I didn't know it either. Like, especially like, renting like a house, is like you gotta make sure it's like they own the house, because there's been a lot of fraud cases.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I've read, like especially in San Diego where I live, like they're on Craigslist just posting stuff, and they're trying to be like, it's gonna go quick, you gotta make a payment now. Like, and basically the rule is don't ever buy or like, you know, agree to rent to any property that they like refuse to show you. Like you have to see it, you have to know that they are the ones who own the property before you give them anything.
Well, and even if they show you, gotta make sure, okay, like this is actually the person, or not, instead of like some of them like picking, like, because apparently a lot of people will, like if a house is for sale, pick like the lockbox and unlock the door and be like, hey, this is my home, I'm renting it to you. So like my dad told me, he's like, hey, like the person who tells you like, okay, like this is like their name, you can look up any property records online.
Wow, it's crazy how much we'll wrap it up, but it's just crazy how much integrity our society does not have. Like I can't believe we've gotten to a point where we have to like look up the property records. Probably now that you're saying it, in my head I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to like find this person on Facebook, make sure the name and the face print off pictures I find on their LinkedIn, and make sure, okay, is this you? All right. And then what is your grandfather's last name? I'm just looking here.
I'm adding that in so I can hack into your Facebook. What is your father?
Yeah, like we just have to confirm that. That's just so crazy. I can't believe we've come to that society where people are doing those type of scams. Yeah, that's wild. Nobody listening here better do any scam like that. Everybody, we're other girls and we don't do those
always
type of things.
Always be vetting. Always be seeking authenticity.
Yes, yes. Live a life in godliness and honor. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope you guys learned a little bit more about the Elizabeth Holmes case. We will link all the podcasts and the documentary, and if you guys write anything else, any articles, anything like that, we will link that in the description. I really hope that this was an episode you enjoyed and that you will share with your friends. I think this is a perfect episode of explaining when do you stop? When is there a time where you cannot continue doing what you were doing? Your dream might need to be on pause. So tell us, I'll do a poll on Spotify. Tell us if you think that Elizabeth Holmes was just girl bossing too close to the sun, she was really a good person, or if she actually was this evil woman who was taking advantage of people and she just wanted to be rich. Tell us which one you think it is on Spotify, and also come over to our Instagram page and let us know. If you enjoyed it, like I said, rate, review, subscribe, tell all your friends. If you liked what you heard, you're like, you know what? I think these girls are great. Let me donate to them. There will be a link for donation as well. You know, we won't fraud you. We can show you our products. As a matter of fact, you were listening to our product. Also, head over to our merch site. We have some really cute clothes, t-shirts, stickers, and that's about it. So t-shirts and stickers if you're interested. Oh, I think we have a mug up there too. I'm trying to think, anything else? Buy from our sponsors. And I think that's it. Yeah, everybody have a
back.
Yes, thank you for coming on. Excited for whatever we're going to talk about next month.
We have a good idea.
Yes, yes.